Welcome into the Pirate Football playback here on Sunday night as Pirates go down 49-29 to Georgia State to the Panthers. With me right now, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you, man?
What's going on, Dave? You know damn well how I'm doing. We were just together a moment ago.
Well, I meant in the context of the Pirates losing yesterday. You've had a day. We gave you 24 hours to calm down, so it's maybe the kinder, gentler,
I was calming them anyway.
the kinder, gentler style.
We're used to it. We're just used to it. We're used to. It's amazing what you can get. As Wade Garrett, Sam Elliott's character in Roadhouse said, or no, Patrick Swayze said it to Sam Elliott. It's amazing what you can get used to.
Very good point. What's up, Bubba Rosenbaum? How are you, dude?
Doing all right, guys. I was not able to take in the game live other than via tune-in radio, like I just mentioned on the college football playback due to Riley's baseball games yesterday at 2-4, right when the Pirates were taking on Georgia State. Obviously, extremely disappointing. That goes without saying. But I think the biggest thing, it's not even so much that we lost, but just the way in which we lost. I was really encouraged by our first half effort against UCF. Yes, it wasn't as good on the ground as 244 yards would lead you to believe, but we did run the football when the game was on the line against UCF. But yesterday we couldn't a lick, and I know we'll get into that here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that was yesterday. Poor offensive line performance. I don't think that what we're doing on offense, we have the offensive line to do it. Our passing game is predicated off the run game, and we can't run the ball. I think that was maybe some false optimism against UCF, thinking we could run it. But what we're going to have to do, in my opinion, guys, from what I saw yesterday, unless there's something I don't know, I think we're going to have to spread it out wide, throw the ball out as much as we can, get back in the damn gun, and sling the ball around on a bunch of short passes. I think we're going to have to, you know, we have some guys who can make some plays in space. So let's spread it out and let them make some damn plays instead of sitting back there and asking an offensive line that's just not good. Our line's just not good, and we're asking them to block for these long developing running or passing plays that a lot of time are predicated on play action. Well, play action ain't worth a damn if you can't run the ball. And that's what happened yesterday. I got so annoyed watching Holton play action, and we couldn't run it. So it was just a wasted movement. By the time you get done with that silly-ass play action move, somebody's in your face because they don't believe you're going to hand it off.
Yeah, that was frustrating to me. Is I think that when you see the two games giving up 51 and 49, that's 100 points. So between the two games, we're averaging giving up 50 points for the defense. I think going in, we were hoping the defense would be better, but that's not surprising. What's surprising is, guys, one of the things that really hurt me yesterday, I know we talked about it in a group text, it's not the 50 points average that's surprising. What's surprising is we didn't even score a touchdown as far as the on the offensive side of the ball. That's what's amazing.
Unacceptable with the talent we have at the skill position, and I know people are going to keep saying, You know, and look, the defense is the defense. It's very young, and it needs a lot of improvement. But you know what? Scoring some points and moving the ball on offense would help the defense a lot. And I know I heard Coach Houston say, well, we got to run the ball, or Donnie, maybe it was Donnie Kay that said it. We got to run. Somebody said it. We got to be able to run the ball. We can't just be wide open right now to help our defense out. Well, you didn't have the defense out of lick yesterday. You didn't have the defense out of lick yesterday because you couldn't run the ball. So if you can score by passing, if you can go wide open, you know, that can create some run lanes. Create some run lanes by getting out some quick passes and make – look, we have some receivers, man. C.J. Johnson, Tyler Snead, Prohl, Audio Matosho, we have some receivers that can make some plays. So put them in space, let them make plays, get, you know, have some short passes, get the offense going, and that can open up some running lanes for you, for some of your fast backs. You can't keep asking the offensive line to do what they tried to do yesterday. It just ain't going to work. Not right now. No, I'm not sure it ever will, but it damn sure ain't going to work right now. And Coach Houston is a hell of a football coach. I know he is, but I think maybe he's a little stubborn with what he wants to do because it's worked for him in other places.
Less than 300 total yards for the Pirates yesterday, just 292. for ECU and 3.7 yards per play. And the rushing numbers, this isn't good. This clearly isn't good, but it's not even as good as this. 26 carries, 50 yards, but 31 of those 50 yards were Tyler Snead's fake field goal.
Oh,
and then you also had a 10-yard carry by Mason Garcia late in that game. So when you look at Holton's numbers, and granted there were four sacks included in this, which doesn't – we've talked about our thoughts on that and how the NFL does it versus how college does it, but it's been like that forever, so it's part of it. But 24 carries, 9 yards.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Now,
if you look at just the running backs, you had running backs, Rajee Harris and Darius Penix, also Chase Hayden and maybe Keaton Mitchell. Maybe he got one carry. But you had those four backs combined for 18 attempts for 22 yards.
It was nothing. It was pathetic. And I'm challenging right now, and I'm sure the coaches are going to challenge them. But, you know, I know what Donnie Kirkpatrick and Steve Shankweiler thinks about our program. I know how much love they have in this program. And, look, I'm personally, as a Pirate fan, and they're going to remember the media, what the hell you want to say, and they're going to look at me and go, well, who's he to challenge? But I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to go into your damn heart and pull out your chest and hold it above your head and look at the purple blood dripping from it and see what the hell just happened in Atlanta, GA. And you should be embarrassed and you should be ashamed. As Pirates, for the legacy that you guys helped build, Donnie Kirkpatrick, Steve Shankweiler, for that offensive performance yesterday. And you got to go. You got to figure out something. And if it's a change in philosophy, then by God, tell Coach Houston, we got to change what we're doing from a philosophy standpoint. So we got to be more passive. We got to get rid of the ball faster. We got to go, so the offensive line doesn't have to block us long. Or you got to get there. And I don't know, we were missing a couple of pieces from the offensive line. I understand that. And maybe they'll be back this week. But that running performance, you got to do something to create some kind of running game. But I think you got to do it from the passing game. And what happened yesterday on the offensive side of the ball was an absolute embarrassment. It was an embarrassment. And you know, I know Holton got a lot of pressure on him. I know he had a lot of pressure on him. But Holton made some bad decisions yesterday. I don't put a lot of that on Holton. But I know how Holton loves this program, too. And I challenge him, too. Go into your chest, rip out your heart, look at it, look at the purple blood, look at it bleat, look at it beating, look at it pounding, and go, is this the legacy you want to leave? And let's see if we can go down to Tampa. And if these young guys, or even the older guys, whoever it is, you know, that team yesterday looked to me, and I heard Coach Smith say it, like they were fragmented, like some guys weren't there mentally. And I went in the locker rooms. I don't know if that's the truth or not. But if you got any guys that ain't bought in, or maybe Coach Houston and the staff was too hard on them for turning the ball over, and maybe worked them too hard in practice, and maybe some guys got their little bitty feelings hurt, because I know how sensitive this generation is. But get out there next week, work your asses off, go to Tampa, and find a way to win a football game. We need to win a football game, and I believe in Coach Houston, and I believe in Donnie, and I believe in Shank, and I believe that they can win here. God knows Shank and Donnie's done it before, and Coach Houston's won everywhere he's been. But damn it, we need to win a football game. And South Florida is up next. And they ain't lighting it up. And we need to find a way to get it done. Go down to Tampa, come back to Greenville with a victory.
Guys, we've lost three straight if you go back to the Tulsa game. So you're exactly right, Kyle, with the Tulsa game and the UCF and Georgia State. And Bubba, you know, the thing that was driving me crazy yesterday is that very thing like Kyle is talking about, is the fact that when we started to do where basically we gave up on the run and we spread everybody out, all of a sudden we started moving the ball, you know, and that was the thing that was driving me crazy, is that we should have done that and move it back to maybe the second quarter, is to go ahead and try that, even if it's for one series, anything to spark the team. And it was driving me crazy that you see the running game is not working. You see that every time the Holton Ahlers snaps the ball, there's like three or four guys rushing at him every time, every snap. So the line was like so broken yesterday that he didn't have any time to pass. I mean, he had to do with those quick throws. But for me personally, yesterday it was driving me crazy that we didn't make that adjustment sooner, because of the very fact that would, to me, was a, what worries me is that was a 50-50 game and we lost by 20 points. And I'm not knocking let me be very clear. I'm not knocking Georgia State. We, the three of us on this podcast, know they have a good program. We know they have a good coach. They've got great recruiting there in that Atlanta area. But the fact that we did not play well in offense is very concerning, especially it's a 50-50 game. Now, you're right, Kyle, when you say that we could go down to Tampa this week. USF is not a good football team, and that's another 50-50 game where we have a chance to beat them and then come home to a Navy team that we were talking about on a previous show. They're not looking good. So maybe you could let's just start with USF. You get a win there. You come back home. You got some more Pirates in the stands this time coming back on the 17th. Maybe we can get something, getting on a little bit of a roll here. But if we lose to USF, man, that's going to be really rough.
Yeah, you can bet your bottom dollar USF has this game circled as a win for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's at home. It's at home. I would say they're probably more talented than we are. But, you know, I'm hoping maybe we can show some semblance of an offense. You know, Blake Harrell and his defense is young, but God knows South Florida offense has struggled early. So maybe our defense can hold up a little bit and make some more plays on special teams and have a chance to win the Blooming football game. I don't know.
You're talking about making plays on defense and special teams, and the Pirates did that right off the bat yesterday. Warren Saba with the pick six on the initial play from scrimmage. And, guys, think about this. If you would have told us, as Dave put up his avatar, which is me, if you'd have told us prior to that game yesterday that we would force three turnovers, have a fake field goal that went 31 yards for a touchdown, and also have a blocked punt, which Blake Prohl returned 40 yards for a touchdown. And that we would get beat by three touchdowns, you wouldn't have believed it.
No, you wouldn't have believed it because you wouldn't have thought the offense. And I was concerned about the offense after week one. I really was. Because to me, it didn't make any sense that our passing game struggled so damn bad. And it is beyond concerning that our offensive line can't pass block any better than that. And I think you've got to, and as Terry joins us, I think you've got to change what you're doing schematically to create some opportunities to get rid of that ball pass because they just can't hold up. And I'm repeating myself over and over. The offensive line just cannot hold up for what we're trying to do in the passing game because it's all predicated on the run game. Can't run it, we're screwed.
And, well, Terry, Terry, you're a great coach and obviously a great player for East Carolina and a future Hall of Famer at ECU. What do you think about the very fact that we're not – it seems like that we were talking to guys. I know you were trying to get on with us. But basically, you can't be stubborn and stick to the same game plan. You've got to work with the personnel you have. And the particular when we yesterday pretty much abandoned the run and we spread everything out, we started to move the football and we started to put Georgia State on their heels a little bit where we could have gotten back into the game and we should have done that sooner than if you see it's not working, the line is breaking down and a 4-5, 3-4 guys rushing through the O-line like they were in the backfield near and holding space all day long. It shows you the run's not going to work.
Well, I was trying to hear what were you saying there at the end, Kyle?
I was just saying how, you know, that what we're trying to do schematically with the offensive line, a lot of our running game is predicated on the pass game. A lot of our pass game is predicated on the run game. Right. And the pass plays take so long to set up because they're coming off of a play action, and our O-line can't hold up to do that. So what we need, in my opinion, what we need to do is, for the meantime, we need to find a way to get rid of the ball faster on some quick cross, shallow crossers and things like that. And spread things out wider and get things in space and let some of our receivers, we do have some playmakers at receiver, get them in position to make plays. And then maybe you can open up some run lanes that way because what we're trying to do, it just ain't working. And when your pass game is predicated to the run game and you can't run the ball, that play action becomes useless. And all it does is give the defense more time to get there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just two games. I know that's – I'm not making excuses. I'm just stating the obvious here, Captain Obvious. Two games. I didn't see the improvement I was expecting from week – you know, the first game to the second game. But I also saw a team that didn't look like it was joined. It didn't look connected. There was a lot of disconnect for everything. And I'm not sure if the virus has it. And again, I'm not making excuses. We got our ass beat. It was fugly. I mean, hey, let's just get it out there, okay? But look at the obvious facts, you know, the COVID virus like it is. And another relative of mine actually passed away from it last week. So, I'm sure these kids are being impacted by a lot of this stuff. Plus, I don't know if maybe the way we've had to practice, we don't have the connectedness that we had before because you can't, they could only have so many at a time and you had to practice in groups. And so, and I just don't see, it's like what happened to C.J. Johnson.
I'll tell you what happened to C.J. Johnson. What they're doing in our league is they're allowing a whole bunch of these corners that can't cover him, and they are on him like a bad suit all day long.
They're throwing the flag on it yesterday and holding quit throwing to him. He started tolerating Blake Kroll the whole second half. Well, if they're wrapping up CJ and they're flagging it, then keep throwing to him. Draw the damn penalty.
I agree with that.
He kept throwing to Blake. Also,
he's playing a set position. Maybe if we played him at the two receiver instead of the one receiver, then you can put him in motion and you can use him for some other things. And I'm not so sure CJ doesn't have other abilities. I don't know how mature he is, and I don't know, again, the impact of the situation as it is with practice and sanitation and contract tracing.
You know what, Jerry? COVID's not just in Greenville. It's in Atlanta, too. So everybody has to deal with it.
I know they do. But they were at home, and that's one thing to think about. I think playing at home for a team like ours right now, we don't have kids. Even our old kids don't have playing time.
Yeah.
So we don't have it with the young players. So it's going to get better, but it was ugly. It was ugly. And I know the coaches feel the same way. And I know that they're looking at things and there'll be, you gotta, I don't know that they even knew they were going to play there for a while. That even if that didn't have an impact.
Well,
but
they knew again, it was last week.
Look, you see what's happening on the NFL level, even. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, Coach,
are you talking about COVID or our program?
Saturday that we're going to play.
Both. We're going to get worse before we get better right now.
We get any worse.
Yeah, that was bad Saturday.
If we get any worse. No, there's no excuse for that offensive performance.
Not one touchdown, Terry. And you're the offensive side of the ball, Terry.
We didn't have any – whatever we tried to do, and again, I think we've kept it so simple. I'm sorry if maybe I'm out of the loop, but where was Penix?
He was there. He was there. He carried the ball 6 times for 1 yard. Chase Hayden.
Maybe ask y'all again. Where was Penix?
You're gonna step on yourself there a little bit. His dad died Sunday.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, I didn't know that. And that's true. These are the things I'm talking about with all the impact on all these kids about all this stuff. So, yeah, that had, you know, I am very sorry to hear that because I knew, and especially situations what they are, I understand that would have been.
Yeah. None of the other backs got it going either, and we know you didn't know about it. You wouldn't have made that comment, but none of the other backs got it going either. Look, to me,
well, that's what I'm saying. There was none, and it hasn't been a. I just don't see us having a. We don't know who we are yet. We don't know what we are.
But there's a number.
And if we just rely on the passing, and I'm off, I love passing, don't get me wrong. But you got to really look at what it's going to do. If we total, you can't abandon the run. You still have to try to run.
Well, we did.
Why don't we do something different?
Well, that's what I agree with. We did abandon the run yesterday. But the passing plays we have drawn up were all predicated on the run. So
their defense, I don't know how closely you watch what they were playing, but they were wound up. They were in a five. They were sending at least five every play.
Yeah.
And they did a great job on defense with gap control, responsibility. So when we tried to run, I didn't see a lot of I saw them on our side of the ball. They were in attack mode defense too.
One thing, guys, I wanted to bring up to you that was obvious to me is the very fact. Did you notice on defense yesterday that there were times when there's a big time confusion on the defense where one guy was running defense. And then there were other guys that were in a different set. There were two or three guys that were in the different defenses. They were like, they didn't know what they were.
We got a really young defense. I don't know if they came out and talked to Johnny Gardner earlier and Bubba, and it doesn't really seem like they ran anything different than what they normally do. So I don't see why they would have called us off guard, except maybe throwing the ball more early than they would. It seems like we thought they were going to run the ball quite a bit, kind of Amani Edwards-ish during his App State days. That's what we thought they were going to look like, and they did throw the ball a little more early. But besides that, I think they ran what we thought they were going to run, but we were very confused early on defense. Now, we kind of got some of that solved as the game went on. I think part of it was them taking their foot off the gas, but we did play better on defense as the game went on. And, you know
– they got sloppy, yeah. They got sloppy.
They did.
That quarterback, I was not aware of. I didn't know the quarterback was that good. I'll be honest.
He's good, man.
6'5". Yeah. That kid's 6'5" and not even 200 pounds yet. He's going to be phenomenal. He was one of these kids who slips through down there in states like Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, that wind up. If they can get through maybe a junior college situation, prep school, once they're not the five-star that gets all the attention, but they're these kids that are only 17 years old when they're, you know, seniors. And this kid, they said that he is actually – I mean, he was phenomenal. I thought he was a great quarterback. Of course, we made him look like one, but – he has all the tools. He has all the skills. And we have a hard time getting to the quarterback. I don't know what we got to do something different, but we got to do that. You can't let the quarterback sit there on his mark and throw the ball.
And that's what Blake Harrell's defense is all about, is bringing pressure, bringing pressure, bringing pressure. Yeah. And
we got to bring it quicker, different, disguise it, something. And they were picking on McMillan. You know, he's from Atlanta.
Great player.
He's going to be a great quarterback. You know,
Carolina.
What's that?
Yeah, he's from Winston-Salem.
Jaquan McMillan is from Winston-Salem. You're thinking about Malik Fleming. Malik Fleming is from the greater Atlanta area.
I thought there's another kid I was – maybe – anyway, okay. But he still, they picked on him. But they had some good players themselves, and I just hate it because it was Georgia State, and Georgia State to me does not represent the kind of football we should be playing. But we're not doing it. It was ugly. We got to grow from it. Yeah. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being this way. But. Well, I'm tired of a lot of things. I'm tired of being short. I wish I was 6'5". You know, my God.
I think you know, there's no shame in losing to Georgia State. They went to a bowl last year. They beat Tennessee last year. They got a lot of players coming back. It's how we lost to Georgia State.
Yeah. And they're all Georgia kids.
And yeah. We went off to Georgia State by a field goal, whatever. You know, disappointing, but been okay. But that performance yesterday was atrocious. What we got there on the screen?
All right. Is Bubba Grant chiming in, just saying if you watched the Louisiana Georgia State game, you knew they were good, and absolutely.
And still,
if we're not as good as what will probably be the third place Sun Belt team,
there you go.
Then we're not going to win a game in the American. We will not win a game all year. If we can't improve and find a way this weekend. To beat now, who knows? You know, who would have thought last year we would almost beat Cincy? So who knows? But if we don't show some dramatic improvement this week, I'm not feeling good about the rest of this year.
No doubt about that. You know, guys, with the Bubba, with the one thing that drives the biggest thing that drove me crazy yesterday was the very fact, and there's guys that need to help hold too. There was that when we were in the group text, I think it was in the first half, Kyle. That with Audi actually dropped a pass and was right there. So he was just past the first down marker. And I know you went ballistic as I was too. I didn't, you texted faster than because I was saying words we can't repeat on this program. But it was things like that that were driving me crazy because he threw a great pass in the numbers to Audi. And then the commentators even said it. He should have had the pass. So there's a little bit of everything to go around, and again,
you're talking about right, the UCLA receiver,
yeah,
the kid from,
he was right there.
He knew it. I mean, but and that's the thing. And what are you going to do? Punish him for something he knows he could have done 28, you know, 30 times out of 31? But you know, it's like this: the interception that we had. Where we intercepted and fell in and they put it on the two. I thought that was a bad. I thought we got the bad end of that stick.
Sure.
I really thought the ball, I thought it carried him into the end zone. That right there was at least 20-yard difference from their starting point, and it made a difference because they scored on that possession. So.
Sure. I mean, everything like that makes a difference. But
Bubba Grant, Georgia State just don't represent somebody that we should lose to. I'm sorry.
Not like that. I mean, they don't represent somebody Tennessee should lose to either.
I know the situation. I know how
The problem.
I'm glad I don't live there now. I'm glad I'm in North Carolina.
The problem that pisses me off is you score 29 points and none of it was on offense. All right, You just have two offensive touchdowns. Just two, and we win the football game. You just have two because the last touchdown was in garbage time after we had turned the ball over.
Yeah. We win
the football game.
That last touchdown, let me tell you, we play them in our place next year.
No, 26.
When the game was over, I'd have walked over there, shook his hand, and told him, said, okay, yeah, thank you very much. Good, enjoy the victory, and we'll see you next year. And no, guess what?
26.
27.
Guess what? Yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be real different. That's karma. Karma. That stuff comes back to you, I think. So.
And I said all along, guys, when Ruffin McNeil got fired December 4, 2015, I said it would take 10 years. We're already at 5, and we still don't look any better. So I'm glad to see Mike Houston here. I'm not, and I want to say to the fans, the casual fans, don't turn your back on Houston like some people are making – comments on our social media to us or on certain message boards.
People get mad.
This year, you got to give a pass to a lot of people in a lot of situations. My opinion, I'm just that way. Dale, I know if somebody's working or if somebody's dealing or if somebody's just peddling me hydrochloric. You know, I think we got good things coming. Because remember now, all these kids, they're going to lose the eligibility.
Sure.
Right? No. So this is like a long spring practice.
Yeah, but it's like that for anyway.
I know it's costing us, but that's what research and development does.
It's for everybody in the country. That means, you know, we don't play Georgia State next year, but all those kids will be back at Georgia State next year.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. I just think it's a tough year. I hate watching it. I hate seeing us that way. Three and out.
That can't happen.
That's what I was going to say to Bubba earlier.
Too many pieces there at the skill positions.
That's what I'm saying.
You've got to find a way to get your ball in playmaker's hands and let them make some plays.
Bubba, I was going to bring you in because you remember the chart. What was it? The first after that pick six, there was like four or five punts, and then I think it was the
After we got
the pick, or something like that. But our first five or six possessions are all like punts.
After we got the pick six, Georgia State scored on three consecutive possessions and five out of their next seven possessions in the first half. Meanwhile, like you're saying, we could not get anything going like we've been discussing offensively as far as all those punts. On our first possession, we had second and two. We ran the ball twice and got stuffed, didn't come close to getting the first down. Then our second possession is when the ball hit Audie on that out route and wide open. Holton did a good job of evading the rush and put it right on him. That would have been a first down. So both of those times we should have converted and at least moved the chains, if not put something together. And then in the second quarter, we got it going a little bit, and we put two drives together, one of 11 plays, the other of 13 plays, both, I think, 50 to 60 yards. But then we get down there in the red zone or just outside of the red zone and had to settle for field goals. So if you could have punched it in the end zone those times, like Kyle was saying, who knows?
Hey, Kyle, how about this? Here's a stat for you guys that just is mind-boggling. But there was a period of time there, seven minutes time, there was three scores. 7 minutes times, and you have three scores. That right there is unacceptable. No, we have a young defense. I know the offense is like getting three and outs, but three scores in 7 minutes, that can't happen. That's why we got our button.
It's just bad defense, but at the same time, if you get some first downs on the offense, you move the ball and you don't give them short fields. And I mean, look, the offense is nothing to help the defense. I'm not pleased with the way the defense played, particularly early, but the offense is where I'm concerned. And I don't know, man. I'm going to cut my appearance here short tonight because I've been on here a while and I got other things I need to get done. And so I'll let you guys carry on here. But I'll just end it with this on my part. If any of the guys out there watch our podcast or watch the show, and I said it earlier to the players and to the coaching staff, guys like Darnie Kilpatrick, guys like Steve Shankweiler, I know how they love the program. You know, I heard Holton Ehlers was almost in tears or was in tears after the game yesterday. Well, you know what? If you're upset, do something about it. You know, crying about it ain't worth a shit. Get out there this week, work your ass off. Get in those offensive linemen's face and say, if I get sacked again, I'm going to take my foot and I'm going to shove it so far up your ass, my shoe size will be on your tongue if I get sacked again. Get in their face. I mean, do what you need to do to get these boys motivated and to go put a hell of an effort. Whether we win or lose against South Florida, we need to go out there and play like, as Terry would say, play like Pirates and against South Florida. And we need to find a way to be competitive this coming week. South Florida is not a good football team. They put up, I think, 21 against an FCS opponent, 7 against Cincinnati, and 0 against Notre Dame. They're not a good football team. It's a 3-point spread. Even after that performance this week, it's still a 3-point spread. We need to find a way to be competitive against South Florida by hook or by crook. If it's special teams plays, if it's trick plays, no matter what it is, we need to find a way to be competitive on the road in Tampa next weekend. And, you know, I'd like to see a change in offensive philosophy, but mainly what I want to see is and they never quit yesterday. So I'll give them credit for that. They never quit. So hats off to them for trying the whole game and cutting it to 13. And, you know, we got the ball back with 5 minutes to go. And I thought maybe we'd come down and score and have a chance to kick an onside kick, but it didn't happen. So anyway, I'm going to get off here and let you guys keep talking. And hopefully we'll figure out a way to be more competitive against the Bulls and go Pirates.
All right, brother. All right. So
I think I just heard the mic drop.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, that's a wall.
You were reading my mind, Bubba. Bubba and I have been friends now for over 2 years now. You were at 2.5 years, I guess, close to it. And Bubba was reading, he read my mind. I was getting ready to say that very thing. That's funny you said that, Bubba, about dropping the mic. Guys, I'm telling you, with everything I have, we're not as bad as we played yesterday. I know that. And I'm not giving up on this team. There's some people that will. The casual fans just need to take a breath. I sound like Terry Gallagher now. But you have to understand this team, this program, Terry and Bubba, it was, I mean, I never thought it was as bad as it was, but it obviously was bad, really bad. In fact, Mike Houston off the record has said he didn't know how bad it was. So what you got to understand is between all the culture rebuilding, no excuses, but Coach Houston even said, as I think Jay Sunhalter, one of the guests said, it's going to be about 2 or 3 more years before we can really see this program go to the level that we know that it can be. And right now we're in a situation where we're having 54 new guys come in. You have COVID-19. You have the terrible administration we've had. We have no chancellor right now. We have no Pirate Club director. We're in a big mess, and we're in the biggest storm of our life as far as our athletic department, and that's because of the previous administration. So we've got a situation now where no excuses, like Kyle was talking about, Bubba and Terry, we've got to get back to the drawing board. I know they had practice this afternoon. They'll have tomorrow off. Want to get you guys' thoughts on the game as far as both of you played on the offensive side of the ball. How do you get the running game, guys? I was thinking about, like Kyle was saying, when Lincoln Riley used to do those hitch routes, different things that they were like basically short passes that they added yardage. They would catch the pass and make a play out of it. Is that something we have to do? What do you guys think?
Yesterday we threw a lot of the bubble screens, and you know, like you're saying, that a lot of coaches refer to as an extension of the running game and then that short passing game. What are your thoughts, Terry?
Oh, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact we don't have much time to throw the football. You can see that from the very beginning, when you can't establish a run, and that's what we are. What do I do? But I would always I would come out in something unfamiliar to the other team, not necessarily run different plays, but in different formations, give them some different looks early, try to in this case try to create something that might be just take something to get them away from where they normally are defensively, and take about 10 plays this week and make sure you run those 10 plays out of 10, and it may be 10 different formations, but make sure early in the game that you do these things, and then you start getting into the rhythm of the offense. But right now we have no rhythm of offense. Let's do this. Like this is what John Wooden focused on. His thing was, don't worry about what you can't do. Take care of what you can do. And at this point, let's see what we can do. Based on what the other team is. So let's see what we can do against them. If we can run the ball, let's run the ball. But if we can't run the ball, let's don't be anal about it. Let's try something other than just run the ball. I'm not saying not run it. but let's run it different. Let's come up. Let's hit things different. Let's hit, you know, just something different. And sometimes too, if you do something, sometimes you got to do something just to get the players, get them excited. Ask them what they can. Okay, ask them. What can we do? Tell me what play.
Hey, Captain Bunk, we did that with the Bubba. We did that with we had the fake field goal and that blocked punt. I mean, that was to have those two plays in our game. I mean, that was huge. But I was going to say that when we spread everything out yesterday afternoon, I'm not saying do that the whole game because then they'll be able to fix that, right?
Sure.
Georgia State will be able to. But I'm just saying if it's a whole series of like that where it's quick, hurry up offense, you do that. Then you have a chance to, if you score, then maybe next time you try to run the game ball again. I mean, but just to keep running the ball over and over again until we could have started the, in other words, sometime late in the first half, early in the second half, go to that all, you know, that all wide receivers spreading everything out because we started clicking then, Bubba.
Yeah, like I mentioned, we did get it going a little bit in the second quarter, but still not with the consistency that you want, and it reverted back to the inability to consistently protect and obviously run block, as we've discussed about for the last several minutes. But we have several viewers chiming in with comments, and so I'll go ahead and get some of those before a few other points that I wanted to bring up. And we have Air Raid 73 chiming in. He says, should Mason Garcia get a shot? What I will say to that, obviously, we're not at practice every day. I know Coach Houston has addressed it in his weekly Zooms. He's been asked that. Will we see Mason Garcia? When will we see Mason Garcia? He talked about we'll see him as soon as the situation is ready or is good for Mason to enter a game. He's not going to go in a situation like yesterday where we had cut it to 13 points. If we had remained down by 26, I think you would have seen him with, you know, 6-7 minutes left in that game. But when we cut it to 13, especially having the chance to win the game and having the offensive line issues that we're having, you're not going to stick a guy out there for the first time in that situation. So I know a lot of people brought that up in other post-game shows, and that was the obvious answer there. But I think Mason Garcia will probably continue to see more action as the year goes on, as he continues to grow comfortable in our offense. And as the offensive line continues to improve, you had Britt Thompson chiming in, Terry. He says, Bunk, you still unpacking?
Oh, yeah, but we're getting closer. I feel like a real North Carolinian now.
You know, Bubba, well, you're making a great point about Mason Garcia with the very fact, I'll say this, the very fact that Mason, if you bring Mason in, the problem is that you pretty much, if you're going to put Mason as a starter, you're giving up on Holton and you're giving up on the season. So hopefully that's not the case. And I know they probably meant just to bring him in for a series or two, not to start, right? Okay.
I'm sure he didn't specify. He just said a shot. I'm assuming he just means to get him some reps. And I think that's a good idea. Maybe early in the game. And like I said, we don't know how Mason's handling everything. Extremely excited that young man's part of our program. But all we know is what Coach Houston tells us. And he referenced some of the nerves he was exhibiting in just a pregame against UCF. So we take Coach Houston at his word. I mean, he has no reason to make that up, obviously. So just hope Mason continues to come along. And when the time's right, we'll get him some action. And hopefully he will perform well and give us a second option at quarterback. And who's to say Alex Flynn, he's number two on the depth chart, right there, either or number two on the depth chart for a reason. So maybe we'll see Alex Flynn at some point. But Richard Allsbrook chimed in. He was in Atlanta yesterday at Center Park Stadium. He's a great Pirate fan attendance. Just joined you guys. You may have already talked about it, but it was it's pretty simple. Their defensive line weren't the biggest guys in the world. Very small, but also very fast. Our offensive line was just getting beat. No O-line obviously equals no running game.
They were running at least
five people. They would bring at least five every time, and they were running twist stunts where they'd have four down men, and the two would X, you know, one go in, one go around. And they did a good job of and that's why they were losing containment they kept losing containment with Holton. And that's why he was able to get the ball away several times. But he could actually have run the ball more had he wanted to in some of those situations. But I think he's trying to sometimes force it a little bit once he does get out there. And he starts trying to go for the big play. You can't force the big play. What you got to do is execute every play like it's the big play. And when you get to that point, that's when you're going to reach championship football. But as long as you're trying to make it happen, it ain't going to happen. You got to play every play. Every play has to be the most important play of the game. And to develop that attitude, and that it takes a lot of maturity, a lot of hard, you know, some never get it. Some never understand it. So
like Richard saying, obviously there are decisions that Holton would like to have back. That goes without saying. I'm sure Holton is beating himself up maybe over those things, and he'll that's one thing. He'll continue to grind. You know, there's no doubt that Holton Ahlers is going to leave no stone unturned when it comes to film study and that's just working hard. He's the epitome of just a grinder and a gym rat, however you want to term it. It doesn't matter who's back there when you can't protect and you have four sacks and then all kinds of hurries and hits on the quarterback.
As a running back at one time, as a receiver at one time, as coaching and all that stuff, I'll tell you the truth. I'll take a good line with a bad back over a great back with a bad line. Because that good line can make a lot of backs look great. And it all starts with that push. And you don't see us getting that. You don't get us. We call it changing the line of scrimmage. And that's where your offensive line comes off the ball and gives you 2 or 3 yards before the running back ever has to, make any contact. But if you're a running back having to make contact with the defender a yard deep in your backfield every play, that's tough. So yeah, I'll take that offensive line all day long. But also again, they were fast, they were quick, but it had to do with the defense they were playing, and we weren't able to pick up a lot of that.
And one other question from Richard Allsbrook on talking about. And Trevion Freshwater's status on defense, talking about the tremendous high school career he had up at Northeastern. I know he saw some action. I don't recall exactly how many snaps against UCF, but I was looking at the participation report for yesterday, and his name was not listed. So I don't know if that was – I don't know if that's a COVID thing, an injury thing, or just coach's decision.
Right, because if it's COVID, they don't have to mention that. So.
Well, the fact that, I mean, Freshwater, the thing about Freshwater that people, the good news about COVID as far as we're concerned with football, a lot of these guys like Freshwater who last year had, which I love the rule now of the academic red shirt, where a situation where grades may not be great or great or it's pretty close that they bring them in. And he had a year to work under Mike Houston, and now he's really a redshirt freshman. And the good news is Terry, he's like you. They've got the Terry Gallagher rule where they gave everybody another year. And I've been telling – and that's my line so everybody can –
there you go. That's right. Everybody should get another year of their life over. You're right.
The Terry Gallagher rule, as I call it, they get another year. But you look at it and, hey.
Right. Well, that's why I say this is almost like a long spring practice.
And it involves a lot of money. It involves a lot of this and that, but it's something that's real. We got to deal with, and I don't care what your point of view on it is. I just know what I know, and I don't play around with the virus myself. I've had too much death and sickness around me. So, I personally stay healthy and all that, but I don't like it. So,
also shout out to Matt Semenza, East Carolina Letter winner, defensive player for the Pirates back in the mid 90s. He's tuned in up in Connecticut. He chimed in earlier. I've been waiting for time to get to this comment. He was just talking about a lot of the things we've already been hitting on, so I'm not going to rehash all those things, but he was just talking about he thinks that we maybe need to try a little tempo.
Listen to the early part.
and then he said players look confused at times. Play calling, in his opinion, had no imagination, and that we set football back 20 years yesterday.
I don't know about 20. I know it was
God knows. I hope not. I hope he's wrong. And I like Semenza. He's awesome.
I think you should go back and watch it in black and white, and it'll make you feel better.
that very fact that Bubba, talking about, we were talking about the offense, but to me, there's enough playmakers on this team. And I would say to the American referees, again, I know you did a good job yesterday calling it, but why is it that every single play they're holding Terry might be help me out on this, but they took him out of the game as far as Georgia State did, because that's what you do. They'd rather take a 15 yard penalty or a spot foul than to have an X play on him and he gets a 50, 60 yard touchdown, down the right, running down the field, and he's gone. The guy has NFL talent. So does Holton. And the two of them have great chemistry. They know that. Snead and Holton have great chemistry. Prohl and Holton have great chemistry. You look at Audie Amatosho. He's coming around now. He's finally starting to come into his own. I mean, that's four receivers right there. If you look at the running backs, one of the things, guys, I wanted to ask both you and Terry and Bubba is I'm upset because my coach told me when we were seniors in high school baseball, he says, Coach Mike Burrell, give you a coach a shout out. He says two things. He said, when you get tired of losing, you'll find a way to win. I talk about that a lot on the show. But the other thing he said, if I can lose with seniors, talking to my group, I can lose with sophomores. Bring those young guys in. And with Mitchell and Raji Harris, I mean, those two guys are electric. I know the running game was not there yesterday, but I don't think – did Harris even get a carry, Bubba?
Yesterday? Yeah, Raji Harris got four carries.
Four
carries for 1 yard. Richard Osbrook chimes in. Of course, C.J. Johnson. You didn't mention C.J. C.J. through two games has three catches. Yesterday he had one catch for 0 yard.
I was saying he had the two. I didn't say his name, but he has the two of them have the chemistry. And then I was pointing out that the Snead had the chemistry, and you look at Prohl and Holton has great chemistry with those receivers. It's a matter of starting with C.J. Johnson. I mean, they can throw a flag on every play because they're holding him. They're doing a pass interference every single play. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's why you move him to a slot receiver type position so that he's off the line of scrimmage and they can't make first contact. Then if they're holding him, that's his fault. But if he can't get off the line of scrimmage, that's his fault too anyway. But he might need to be off the line of scrimmage and a motion receiver. Maybe he can't do that. I don't know. But I know sometimes they even leave him on the same side of the line. They leave him on the left and Holton's left hand.
Right.
So I don't know if that's – I don't know. I would move him around and make it hard for somebody to be able to I'd give him some opportunities somehow. But – you can't. Sometimes you got to remember, you only got one football. So you got all these weapons. Everybody talks about all these weapons. We got all these weapons, but we only got one football. And now what you do with that one football is make it damn important to everybody to have a chance to hold it. And so if you do get that opportunity, you better damn well make sure you do it, and you do it well, because we got guys over here that want to hold that football. There's only so many plays in a game that you get to hold that football. So do you want a chance to hold it? Then don't drop it. Don't fumble it. Don't kick it away. I mean, when you get it, count. Because if you don't, there's people over here that want to. Because that football is precious. And on defense, you should want it just as bad. And that means that I want to see 11 hats at the ball on defense. I want to see, when the play's over, a bunch of meanness getting on around the football. And sometimes, again, we look a little lethargic. We just didn't look. We didn't play Pirate football Saturday.
Well, you know what? The good news is we can't do anything about Bubba and Terry. We can't do anything about last week, but we have this week coming up with USF, game that we could do something about, right, Bubba, Terry?
It started when that game ended. How we left that locker room, how we got on the bus and the airplane, whatever, to get home, how we went to practice today, it's already started. What we're going to see Saturday is a result of what's going on right now. I firmly believe you are what you practice. So, and that's on and off the field. That ain't got nothing to do with a building or an office. You know, you are what you are. So I think this is when you start finding about your – we don't have an identity, and every team has an identity, and we just don't know who we are yet. Like Bagger Vance says, we got to find out who we are. We got to find our swing.
Hey, Bubba. And,
we'll get there.
Bubba, put up the comment from Bubba Grant, if you don't mind, because that's something I was going to – I totally – thank you, Bubba Grant. That was something I was going to bring up at the beginning of the show, and you can tell.
What do you think defenses are designed to do? Defenses don't want him to roll to his left.
Because that's his strong
suit. If I was a defensive coach, I'd make him go to right every time. Yeah, exactly.
And then he's got to throw across his butt. Yeah, exactly.
I agree. I agree, Bubba. You take away what he does best, and he is an old-time gunslinger-type quarterback. He's a little bit Shane Carden, with that, and that's well and good when when it's clicking. But you got to be able to run plays. You got to have, and that means you got to move the sticks. If you're not making first downs, then
doesn't matter. Yeah,
that's forcing, and that's why I say it goes back to trying to make the big play. When you're trying to make the big play, it ain't gonna happen. You got to let the big play, it comes to you. And that's all the other that goes into it.
Bubba, I have one question for you too before, and I'll let you make your comment. Sorry. But one other thing I had in mind tonight is knowing how good of arm, I know there's issues with accuracy. We can talk about that. Holton would tell you that. But would you be willing to throw the ball more down the field? To a CJ, to a Blake, to that, to do it more, to keep the defense honest when they know that our running game is not there, it's not working because they're able to stop us?
That would be great, and I'd love for us to, but we have to have the time. Yesterday, I mean, you barely had time to throw an intermediate route, and you don't have time to throw the ball 30, 25, 30, 35 yards down the field. I'm sure they'll do their best to mix that in as they see fit, but I can certainly understand why they didn't yesterday, because we've talked about, I mean, Holton was getting hit on the short and intermediate passing game. The points I wanted to make, Terry brought up the defense a while ago. We talked about how, yes, we understand the situation in the game, how it was a 35-13 ball game at halftime, so Georgia State probably understandably just frustration of their coaching staff probably did take their foot off the gas But at the same time, we certainly played a lot better in the second half, and our defense, with so many young pieces on that side of the ball, came out and did what they needed to do to give us a chance to win the football game. And they got 7 consecutive stops, forced a couple of turnovers, I think 4 punts, also a missed field goal. And you looked up, and with just over 8 minutes left, it was a 42-21 game thanks to those 2 special teams touchdowns. And the only touchdown they got on the offensive side of the ball in the second half came in the final minute, which Terry already referenced. And so you have to be proud of that. On the defensive side, leading the way, you've heard Coach Houston really brag on Jairo Wilson and just talking about how his athleticism and versatility at linebacker is something that we can really build on. And you saw it yesterday. He led the team with 13 tackles, 10 of those being solo. Had 2 TFLs. I know in game 1 against UCF, the commentator, I think it was Mike Golick, was talking about how impressed he was. He was down the field covering one of those very talented UCF receivers. So keep an eye on Mr. Wilson. And then Elijah Morris, the freshman defensive lineman, 6'1", 283 out of Terry Sanford High School in Fayetteville. He had 8 tackles yesterday. And Coach Houston, I want to say it was his Thursday press conference, but one of his press conferences last week going into this game, talked about Elijah and how he's everything you want from a coach's standpoint in terms of his attitude, effort, and everything that he brings. And he just brings it day in, day out, and he's kind of a role model for the others in the program, and they need to follow his lead. And he's a guy that came in to the program as a walk-on.
That's awesome. Bubba, Richard has another question out there. If you can put that out there, he had a question towards me. Dave, do you see an option being used more to get the running game going? I mean, right now, if that's – you guys are more of the football minds, and I've coached for 4 years with football too. If that's something that they could – that zone read, knowing that that's knowing that Holton can run. Also, I would probably add if the guys that you still need the line, right, to be able to pull that off.
Hey, you don't have to block as many people.
Yep. I mean –
but what we still got to prevent them from being in the backfield so quick somehow.
Yeah.
And again, the way you do that is picking up where this, if they're sending 5 or 6 people, then there's some holes somewhere. We just got to find them. And it's got to happen. We got to be prepared for it to happen quick until we can establish some type of run. And I'd like to see misdirection. I'd like to see some more counter type plays. They don't all have to be outside of tackle. They can be right up the center. But you can still run where you pull 2 people, lead through, kick out, or kick out, lead through. And so I'm sure, you know, we got more in the playbook. But I just, again, when you're only going 3 and out, it's hard to see what you got. You can't, you know, that's terrible.
Something did surprise me yesterday, and again, this is from afar because we're not at practice. We don't know. I mean, he may have had some type of nagging injury, where he wasn't at full strength. He did get 1 carry though, so maybe it was just a coach's decision, maybe it boiled down to the other backs being better at pass pro and a little bit bigger to pass protect. So that may have been it too, but it sure would have been nice to see the ball in Keaton Mitchell's hands a little bit more. And the game against UCF, he got 10 touches, really made some things happen, accounted for about 80 or 85 yards of offense, but just had that 1 touch yesterday. So maybe we'll find a way to get the ball in Keaton's hands.
Too, because, you know, he played in the state championship football game on that field. Last year, Georgia high school championship games, all of them were played at Georgia State. That's old Turner Field, you know. When they left Turner Field, that if you look at it from afar, you can see where Turner Field, the old baseball stadium. So,
Bubba loves some Braves now.
Yep, I figured Bubba would like that. Then, of course, they out there in just north of Atlanta in Cobb County now, but. Keaton is from just south of that area, just south of Atlanta, around McDonough, as they call it. McDonough is what it looks like. McDonough, they call it. Eagles Landing Christian Academy. He went to a private school there, Class A school, but they were one of the best teams in the state year in and year out. And he had a good state championship game there.
Bubba, do you know what his 40 is? Because that guy is lightning fast.
Yeah, I don't. I have no clue what his 40 is.
Yeah, he ran track in Georgia too. He's a fast kid.
I feel certain he's probably he's a 4.3, 4.4 guy.
He just got to have. You don't know, but there again, with freshmen first coming in and with the situation like it is, there's no telling how. I'd hate to see, back when I first came in, oh my goodness, I don't know. It was, I didn't need any more things on my mind to have to deal with. Because we didn't worry about germs back then. We didn't get sick. We just we just took salt tablets.
You're like, hey, Terry, you're like a Timex watch. You can't take a lick and keep on ticking.
Well, a lot of scars. I got a lot of scars on this old tree. A lot of bark been knocked off.
You're still standing. So, Bubba, what do you before we go, I know we're running tight on time, but Bubba, your final thoughts and maybe we'll get the comment there from Richard if you wanted to read that.
Last game we had no offensive touchdowns was 2018, the season finale, the forgettable season finale against NC State, where Dave Doran
58-3
in classy style tried to ice Jake Verity, but Jake Verity with the ice water in his veins nailed it on the final play of the game when the Wolfpack beat us 58-3.
Yeah, we haven't had a shutout since the 97 game against Syracuse. So we wanted to keep that record intact. And, you know, Doran is Doran, and Doran will be Doran, and I'll be Doran. I can't wait. I can't wait to this program. We have to play them again, but I can't wait to when things are really kicking, and then he'll have some other excuse why we lost to him and psychological disadvantage or whatever.
He'll do everything he can not to play us again.
Yeah, we're scheduled to play him again
next year,
2022.
It ain't happened. Until it happens, they'll do everything they can. It's like South Carolina coming to Greenville. I've never seen nothing like it. We can't get them to Greenville.
And they have no reason. And they have no reason to act like they're Clemson or Alabama. And I'm not anti-South Carolina, the Gamecocks. But there's no reason to ever, ever, ever pretend like you're so good that you can't come to Greenville when you can't even win your league. And no offense to them.
They might not win a game in there. They're going to have a tough time. You know, the only conference games, they're going to have a tough time. Ooh.
Yeah. And, hey, we may be in the same boat. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully, folks. This week we can break that by getting a win in Tampa against the Bulls USF, and we'll see how that goes. Bubba, do you have any final thoughts before we go?
No, just tired of the losing, as everyone is. Obviously, as much as we don't like it, I think Terry said as much early on, and I know it's stating the obvious, and Coach Houston and this staff and the players, as much as they invest, I know they're absolutely sick right now. Hopefully they had a good practice tonight. Tomorrow is an off day, but they'll get a lot of film study in on their own, I'm sure. And coaches putting the game plan together, continuing to put the game plan together, and hopefully we'll have an excellent week of practice and go down to Tampa and win a ball game, because Lord knows we definitely need to win a game, and how sweet it would be for that win to come over USF, because we're 1-9 all time against South Florida. And that lone victory came in 2014 when Shane Carden and company rallied in the second half down at Raymond James.
What's your final thoughts, Terry? Captain Buck?
Look in the mirror and find out what you want to do. Everybody, that's what everybody's got to do. Just when you got a problem, look in the mirror. There's your solution. So all of our players need to look in there and decide what they want to do. You can coach the hell out of them, but they got to execute it. So let's get it going. And I'll be there. I'll be there in spirit anyway.
Hey, Terry, when I look in the mirror, I see a 47-year-old. So probably not a good idea for me to look.
Wait until you see a 64-year-old.
And Dave, one other thing I failed to mention, Sutton Young, who's doing an excellent job for us on campus. Sutton's actually going to be down in Tampa.
That's right. You told me that.
So look forward to catching up with Sutton later on in the week, and at least most likely on game day, probably prior to the game, potentially at halftime, and then after the game with some live reports from Raymond James Stadium and what will be a night game next Saturday down in Tampa. And I think it's a ESPN Plus broadcast at 7 o'clock.
That's going to be outstanding. Can't wait for that, guys. It's going to be a game. Hey, another 50-50 game. We got to find a way to win it. It's been tough. And I know Coach Houston, I'll say this and then we'll get out of here. I believe in Coach Houston. I believe in this coaching staff. They're working thousands of hours. They know what they're doing. Terry told us last year, it's a continuation. Trust the process. Mike Houston's a winner, and they will turn it around. So for those of you that don't believe that, then you probably don't need to be a Pirate because you don't know about going through storms. So enough said, guys. I hope you have a great night. I appreciate both of you. Thank you, Kyle, my brother from a different mother. And we'll see you again in the next couple of days. Bubba, do we have any programming coming up by Tuesday? I'm sure. Next couple of days.
Yeah.
I'm doing a Kyle.
Still, as Terry drops out and kills the three person overlay on the screen, appreciate that, Bunk. But the only thing I have at this point, Dave, is on our Pirate preview on Thursday night, we will catch up with former East Carolina fullback / tight end, primarily fullback Kevin Guidry from the Skip Holtz era. And Kevin is doing an excellent job, owns a gym in the Wake County right now, and here in Raleigh. He has – I'm trying to remember the name of it. I would have been able to think of it if I wouldn't have brought it up. But I think it's actually – it's called Find a Way Fitness. And that's funny since Terry's talking about finding a way. It's Find a Way Fitness. And it was at least Gym of the Month, so maybe Gym of the Year to this point. But doing an excellent job nonetheless with that. Kevin Guidry will join us. And the unique thing about Kevin, not only did he play for the Pirates, he also played for USF. So he has some insight to both programs, and we'll talk to him Thursday night.
All right, sounds good. Thanks to Kyle from LaGrange Barber, Terry, Bunk Gallagher, and, of course, Bubba Rosenbaum, our glue for this show. Couldn't do it without you, brother. Appreciate you very much. Just a Pirate football playback. It's right here on the Sports Objective after every game. Appreciate you guys. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates!